Hello and welcome to another episode of the Lieberland Show. I'm your host, Adam J. Carswell. Wow, here we come, and we have a fantastic guest for you today here, ladies and gentlemen. Someone who I had the pleasure of meeting, man, a little bit over a year and a half ago now, but it definitely seems like it's been longer. You know, we see each other pretty much every week on our Lieberland National calls, and he's just a story and inspiration waiting to happen. I'll paint the backstory here in a moment, but before I do any of that, I just want to give an opportunity. Navid Sabarin, I just realized, you know, I've always just called you Navid. I've never actually called you with your last name. Did I say it right?
You got a little choppy there, I think.
I just got a notification that my internet connection timed out for a second. So I apologize for anyone who missed it there. Navid Sabarin. Sabarin or Sabarin?
Anyway, you wish. I go mostly by Sabarin, but it depends in, because, you know, Luxembourg is a small country surrounded by Germans or French, and they all pronounce it their own way. So,
okay. Because, yeah, I just realized, I mean, I've just always called you Navid. I've never had to call you by your surname until today. But anyways, so, you know, we met, Navid and I met at Anarcapulco in February of 2020 in Acapulco, Mexico. I was there with Tom Walls and a few other Lieberland representatives. Tom had just presented during the conference, and Navid was one of the few people who really eagerly followed up, came and shook Tom's hand, my hand, you know, asked a bunch of questions. You could just tell he was very passionate about everything that he had learned and seen in regards to Lieberland up until that point. And, you know, here we are a year and a half later. He's now the representative to Luxembourg. As I mentioned, he's very active and interactive on our calls and adding value to our group every week. So let's start there, Navid. How did you first find out about Lieberland? I don't think it was at Anarcapulco.
No, actually not. Prior to Lieberland, I've done a bit of everything. And I went all the way from marketing and PR to finance and banking and waste management. At some point, I thought it would be a good idea to open a sushi restaurant. Don't ask me why. So I went a bit through the whole spectrum of things and all the way to my current occupation as a driver. I essentially drive my kids around, which the benefits kind of suck, but the hours are great. But all this kind of led me through the path of to the rabbit hole of Bitcoin, like so many other guests on the show, and if I'm not mistaken, yourself included.
That's right. Our how we first kind of discovered Lieberland was after discovering Bitcoin, I believe.
Pretty much, because going down that kind of path of discovery, I discovered Bitcoin quite early. Didn't pay much of a mind to it until early 2017, when it really became, I started dating it, you know, I started getting infatuated by it, and it became an obsession and literally a way of life. And going down that path, obviously, I came across concepts of anarchy and libertarianism, and eventually I found my way to our very own Mr. Jeff Berwick, the infamous Mr. Berwick. And here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have to, I mean, I actually just reached out to Jeff a couple of days ago and sent him an email just saying thank you for really for all of his leadership, because not only Bitcoin, not only Anarcapulco, Lieberland, two individuals who I work with very closely on a daily basis now. There's just so many people and resources that I look back on my life over the past 4 years that may or may not have ever happened had Jeff Berwick not been crazy enough to try it for himself first and post it on YouTube. I'm not even sure how active his YouTube channel is now, because I know he's gravitating over to more like free market video platforms where you don't have to worry about what you say. You can kind of just be yourself. And so I believe he's using BitChute and Library primarily. Dollar Vigilante still has a few videos on YouTube. But anyways, I guess that would be the direction I want to point anyone right now is dollarvigilante.com. If you are not a fan of someone who's just very bold and going to just pretty much straight up speak his mind and how he sees the world, I'd say probably don't go check it out. But if you like a guy who's a little bit crazy, like Naveed and I, then you'll certainly like Jeff Berwick. And, you know, also I live in Canada now, and knowing he's originally from here and he's kind of, you know, just broken out into the world and created his own life on his own terms. Got to love the guy. So there you go.
School in Canada. I actually went to school in Canada. So there's
no. Oh, we did talk about that. Yeah. Where did you go to school again?
Toronto.
Okay.
But Jeff, really, he is very relentless. I mean, love him or hate him, like he stands behind his beliefs. This last Acapulco, I had a chance to go again. I mean, it was a much more intimate one because of the situation that shall not be named right now.
Yeah.
And so it was a much more intimate setting, and I had a chance also to hang out with him a little more closely. And once you get to know the person, there's somebody who really, really stands for what he believes in.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go, guys. He's our connector if you trace it far back enough. So even before, you know, you started opening your mind to this, the way in which you see the world now, it sounds like similar to myself, the past 4 or 5 years, our worldviews have completely changed. And being in an environment like Liberland, where we get to hang out with all these people who are just really citizens of the world. You know, I'll say it again. I say it all the time. I think we have over 90 representatives in different countries all around the world with Liberland. So it's like, in my opinion, kind of like a Rotary Club on steroids. You know, tell us about your world travels, because you're not just from Luxembourg. You didn't just go to school in Canada. You've lived in a lot of different places and seen a lot of, you know, things that most people don't get to experience. So kind of tell us a little bit about your life story, Naveed.
Well, having grown up in Luxembourg, being in Luxembourg, already being such a small place, the concept of a foreign country comes very natural because we are surrounded already. But even beyond the European neighbors, to me, it was always very natural. As I said, I went to school in Canada, after which I went to China for a few years. Then I ended up pendling back and forth between China and Luxembourg for quite a few years. Eventually I met my wife in China. So we came back to Luxembourg, and for the past 14 years, we've been here temporarily, always talking about going back, but for some reason we're still stuck here. But it doesn't really matter because the world has become so small right now. So where you are physically doesn't really mean much anymore.
Yeah. And so you mentioned you met your wife in China. And I know your roots, I believe you are Persian and maybe another ethnicity. And so I think you mentioned you have kids as well. So are your kids just like this ultimate combination of every culture from around the world?
Well, they are what they are. We are, as you mentioned earlier, we are just world citizens, you know. And that's also where the whole concept of Liberland resonates so much, because in Liberland, and I noticed this last year when I went to the Floating Man Festival, and you see, when you're in a place which really doesn't really exist physically yet, and it's a concept, and then you realize that it's made up of people from pretty much anywhere, everybody is a foreigner. You know? So the concept of nationality is kind of silly.
And you gave a fantastic speech, now I think about it. I think it was at the Liberland 6th anniversary last year. It was kind of like exactly what you just said. You spoke about
the concept. Was the one. Yeah, that was during Floating Man, which, okay, by the way, is coming up next month again. So everybody who is able to travel or is around Croatia and Serbia, hop over to Liberland next month. It's going to be.
Yeah, let's do a little commercial for it here. So you can go to, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Naveed, it's Floating. floatingman.ll.land.
I believe so.
I'm going to go ahead and pull up the URL and drop it in the comments here on Facebook. If you're with us here live, thank you for joining us live. If you're with us here on the replay, I'm sure we'll get a link to it. But Floating Man, let me just go ahead and make sure I get the right one here, is Liberland's annual summer festival, exactly. Right? So Floating Man Festival 2021, where is this URL? Maybe we got to work on the SEO a little bit, but it's showing up. The cool thing is it's showing up. If you type it in on Google, you just type in Floating Man Festival 2021. It'll say right there, it's got a Google tab that says Liberland Summer Festival, August 12th through the 15th, 2021. I know I will not, unfortunately, I won't be there this year, but man, my journey, once the world kind of opens up again a little bit more, the Liberland 7th anniversary, Floating Man next year, I'd be shocked if we're not hanging out there, Naveed, and anyone else here joining us. So if you can make it this year, though, please do it, and we'll get a link to that here soon. So, so you were in China, a few other places, Canada. You guys are in Luxembourg now. I guess what's it? Just tell us a little bit about what it's like living there, because I know the reputation that Luxembourg has is it's like one of the wealthiest countries in the world. It's a country where it seems like the citizens kind of just understand the principles of managing their money effectively, and it's a successful country and place to live, from what I assume in here. But I mean, you having it in your backyard, I'm sure you could probably clarify a little bit more.
I would say it's very much statistical on paper. Yes, Luxembourg is living in its own little bubble. Everybody seems to be oblivious to, when I say everybody, I mean, in general, the population seems to be oblivious to the decaying society financially and in every that's all around us. But we are not immune. I mean, even if we are in our little bubble in Luxembourg and everything seems rosy and nice, obviously we are part of a global society, and the ailments kind of that, whether they manifest in the United States or in Asia or other places of Europe, we are all in it. Nobody is their own island forever.
Yeah, and thank you for the reminder. I mean, you kind of keep bringing us back here to, thank you. I see Rena's here in the comments. Thank you, Rena. And I just found the main URL as well, so we'll put that. All right, appreciate that. But yeah, you keep bringing me back to center here, which is the concept of us all being world citizens, which I stand very firmly with that statement. And I want to make it clear too, because I think there's two different ways you can look at it. You can look at it as, we're citizens of the world, and everyone reports to, the United Nations or this one world government, which that I have no time for and I will never support. And you're just never going to get any type of, I will never tell you that I am a fan or a supporter of the United Nations. That's actually one organization that, well, I'll just leave it at that. So with that being said, the reason why I say that is because nobody gets to pick where in the world there's basically two things no one gets to pick. It's where they're born and what they look like. And so kind of whole concept of patriotism is weak, in my opinion. I think it's important to be to have a sense of gratitude based on where you're from, because especially if you are from somewhere where maybe you have a little bit of an advantage, again, depending on how you look at it, there's nothing wrong with being happy to be from a certain place. But when you start thinking that, when you start taking pride and saying my place is better than your place, it's just a silly conversation, because we're all just randomly put here on this planet. So I think that's what you're kind of trying to say here.
It's interesting to bring up the, it kind of hit me when you said you have no deep love for the United Nations. And it resonates with me very much so, because I used to be the person thinking the United Nations was gifts, God's gifts to humanity, the solution to all, until actually I discovered Bitcoin. Because when you get a concept of decentralization and what it actually means, it actually is the opposite of what the United Nations is trying to
achieve.
And that is really I think the fact that Liberland openly embraces Bitcoin is so relevant on so many levels, not only on a practical level, but also deeply ideological. Because Bitcoin, in its very nature, is what Liberland represents. It's open source, it's transparent, it's permissionless, it stands for universal inclusion and justice, and it does not and cannot discriminate. You know? And most importantly, even it addresses everything that's rotten and wrong in today's society. And that's a long list. You know, when you hear the cliche, Bitcoin fixes everything, and there's a lot of truth to that, if you think. If you just look, for example, at the history of central banking, you don't need to dig very deep to realize that they have been at the root of most suffering and wars pretty much since the inception.
Yeah.
So Bitcoin really is the opposite of an idea of United Nations. There's nothing against unity, and there's nothing against unity in diversity. In a sense, if you look at the Liberland diversity we have of minds and ideas and thoughts, there is a certain unity, but in diversity, which is key.
Exactly, spot on. And I think that's it. Like it's almost like the phrase or terminology or whatever for United Nations is taking the true definition and meaning of unity and twisting it to not actually be as though it seems. And when you told me that you discovered you were a big supporter of the organization, and then you discovered Bitcoin, and then you just started having all these epiphanies, it just reminds me again so much of myself. I think back to 2016, 2017. Man, I was so patriotic. I was. And I still think that there's many benefits to being American and born in the US. Don't get me wrong. It's very, very there's a lot of perks, right, to being an American, comparatively speaking. But I'm never going to be a chest beating my country is better than yours. That just died after I discovered Bitcoin. And then also, I'll never forget, I think it was 2015 or 2016, because I'm also a Rotarian. They do Rotary Day at the United Nations, I think, every year. And so, you know, I punched my ticket to go to that, and I'm at the United Nations in New York, and I'm feeling all important and special. And again, I'm helping the world, and oh man, that just makes me I am not like that anymore. And it started once I discovered Bitcoin and going down these rabbit holes. So, I hear your story, and it just reminds me so much of my journey. And then, I've recently interviewed someone on a show, and he was talking about how, he doesn't necessarily believe in anything, but if there's any one religion that he really feels firmly that he believes in, he also said the code of Bitcoin, the way that Bitcoin's code is written, is a liberating code that you could basically, cross-reference it with certain religions and be like, this is the Bible in 2013. This is the new Bible, if you will. So I just like that you kind of referred to Bitcoin as a truth serum. I'm not sure the right word to put it, but yeah. So let's hear about your Liberland journeys. I'm sure you've had, again, a lot of experiences since becoming a Liberlander that just, just continued to shape the way you see the world now. So let's talk about them. I mean, is there any specific moments as a Liberlander that stand out to you or wow, I can't believe I'm doing this right now?
Yeah, surely. I mean, there's so many highlights. I would say on an ideological level, I think there's nothing more meaningful than being part of the birth of a nation, and especially a nation that represents what you truly believe in, which would represent a just and equitable society, and which addresses all these issues that the world is facing right now. I have the privilege right now to assist in a series of meetings twice a week where I'm actually witnessing Liberland's governance system, voting system, actually the entire functioning being built on a blockchain. And this is quite mind-boggling because you're actually witnessing an initially utopic idea becoming reality but in code, in immutable, transparent code. And this is extremely exciting.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, let's talk about your, I guess, your cryptocurrency journey a little bit here. And thank you, by the way, for joining us yesterday. We're recording this on a Wednesday for those joining us on the replay or listening later. Every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's like New York City time. Myself and a collective get together on Clubhouse, which is an app, and talk about Bitcoin, crypto, everything kind of going on in the space. And I just want to let anyone listening right now to know, if you would like to be a part of that community, or if you need a Clubhouse invite, just reach out to us. I'm sure there's, you know, you can find a way to get in touch with me, whether it's through social media or here. Would love to get you in there. Naveed joined us last night, and I know he's running on like 2 hours of sleep because, you know, I don't know what time it was in Luxembourg when he joined, but we're happy to have him there. And anyways, we talked about crypto a lot last night, and I think you made some great comparisons in there. I just want you to kind of share some of your metaphors with the group and kind of your mindset on crypto, because my take in general is you're like, hey guys, let's not focus on the oranges or the apples or the Bitcoin or the Ethereum or like the specific assets. Like let's look at it this way. It's one giant marketplace. And whenever you acquire some of these crypto assets, like that's a big enough victory for you right there if you have a long-term vision. So kind of dig a little bit deeper on what I'm trying to communicate here.
Yeah, when I talk, I mean, obviously there's more than just Bitcoin to the space. For me, when I talk crypto, I really mean Bitcoin, which doesn't mean I'm that I do not acknowledge the need and also the part of all these other projects that are in the space. But I tend to look at the world through the lenses of Bitcoin. And one way that it makes sense to me, Bitcoin is literally created out of energy through the mining process. And this is a beautiful, in a sense, a beautiful imagery, because it is Bitcoin is energy, and the Bitcoin network is a perfect battery preserving this energy through space and time, literally, without any loss. And the trick is really to keep your battery charged at all times. I don't know if this makes any sense, but this is really, to me, and I think the only way to look at it, because at the end of the day, any monetary system, whether it's gold or seashells or whatever, it's been at a certain point of history, it is a representation and a manifestation of energy. Whatever we do, we exchange goods, but in order to do so, it's nothing more than it's your fuel to move on.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? You said that, as I just mentioned last night, and I kind of forgot, so I'm happy you brought it back up, but kind of viewing it as energy. I mean, you mentioned, think about the process of how it's, you know, created or comes into existence. It's through an exchange of you know, maybe too scientific for me to explain, but it's the creation or transfer of energy into a way that you can store it. And so, I guess that would be a golden nugget I would want our listeners to keep in mind and think about is, and I'd say probably even beyond Bitcoin too, because a lot of these other assets are mineable and they do like require some transfer of energy for them to come into existence. So, you know, I've heard that phrase too. You know, money, ultimately, what is money? Money is energy. It's stored up energy. It's spiritual. And to hear that you're tapped into that is cool. And I mean, how did you look at money like 4 or 5 years ago compared to now? I bet you've probably just kind of changed the way you view finances as well.
It's like everything. Everything is, whether it is money or literally going all the way to the meaning of life, or how you view governments or United Nations, there's a pre-Bitcoin and there's a post-Bitcoin. It's very clear cut. It really is, it sounds very stubborn, but it is really that clear to me.
Yeah, wow, I love it. So I guess what would be your words of wisdom to someone who still hasn't experienced the epiphany that you have through Bitcoin? Because it's hard to be like, oh, you should do this to anyone. But I guess what would be your advice to someone who kind of hasn't taken a jump off the, you know, the high dive into the water below?
I believe that sooner or later, everybody will take that dive. You know, the question is when, you know, and it may not be for everybody. I mean, at this moment, it's, I believe, a gift that we have to be able to use it, to live it this early in its process. It's almost like running on a cheat code. I think I mentioned that last night, going through life. And the advice I would have, just study, learn, don't let yourself, I mean, it's a very messy, it's a very confusing world out there, and there's a lot of misinformation. I have literally spent the past 5 years, day in, day out, absorbing, and I'm still learning every single day. My mind is still blown every day. And when I said that I made Bitcoin actually a way of living, I don't think there has been a single day in the past 4 years that I have not made at least one or two Bitcoin transactions. I literally live it. You know? And once I experience that, everything becomes very, very simple, very easy.
Yeah. Man, because you mentioned that, I know you mentioned, you walk it like you talk it, because you mentioned that last night too. You're like, the way I look at all of my finances now is through, in Bitcoin, what we would call Satoshis, you know? And you said after acclimating yourself to thinking that way, it actually doesn't become that hard. So I'm going to take what you're talking about right now as a challenge to myself to kind of break beyond looking at the US dollar amount of everything, which kind of is the gold standard for right now. And we'll see where it goes. You know, maybe it won't be Bitcoin maybe not everyone will see it the way you're talking about, but I think it's a cool challenge that I want to try and embrace now. And then, you know, what would be your, if there's something that hasn't taken place within the Liberland community yet that you would like to see happen, I guess now is the time to speak something for Liberland into existence. What would that be for you?
I mean, the obvious thing is settling the land. I mean, this is, it's a no-brainer. Actually, last year when I went to the Floating Man Festival, that was one of the personal highlights. I mean, as you know, right now we cannot really access the land physically. So the festival is actually held on the Serbian side of Liberland. So one personal highlight, of course, was meeting fellow Liberlandians, but the cherry on top of the cake really was that during one afternoon we took a boat ride along the shores of Liberland, and for some reason there were no patrol boats of the Croatian police anywhere to be seen. So a couple of us couldn't resist the urge to jump into the water and swim to the beach. That was, I mean, call me sentimental, but that was pretty neat.
Wow. Actually, I didn't know you got to do that.
And actually have the sand to prove.
Yes.
So that was neat. You know, so obviously if I want to wish something into existence, and it's just a matter of time, it's to actually settle the land and build this incredible, beautiful vision that President Witt has laid out for us.
I love that you have the sand. That was a really smart move. And I know the day I'll be able to kind of set foot on Liberland soil will be, who knows? I honestly feel like I might cry or tear up a little bit because of just how amazing this country has been to me and to you and so many others.
Send me your address. I'll share some with you.
You read my mind. I didn't want to ask. Thank you. Yeah,
I could see it on your mind. So let me know your address. I'll send some to you.
Yes, Nikki, we got some Liberland sand heading our way in the mail. Okay. Well, you know what, Navid, we will go ahead and wind things down now. I want to thank everyone who did join us here live for tuning in. This was a great episode of the Liberland Show. We're going to be doing more live interviews of the show here coming up soon. We'll do a better job of kind of publicizing that and getting that out there to you guys. But again, anyone with us on the replay as well, just thank you so much for investing your time with us. Navid, what would be, I guess, you know, your parting words of advice or wisdom, not only to Lieberlanders, but to, you know, really to the world, our world citizens tuned in?
Don't worry so much. Be happy. No, it's and be a carrot. But that will need another episode to explain.
Okay, nice. I like that, the cliffhanger. So Naveed's going to have to come back on the show now in the future, guys, and tell us what he means by be a carrot. He left a carrot for us there. And don't worry, be happy. Spoken like the man himself. Actually, I was going to say, was that Bob Marley's song? Three Little Birds, right? That is him, I think.
No, that was the other guy. That was the don't worry, be happy guy. That was okay. The smiley guy.
It was, yeah. I was going to say Bob Marley, but I don't think it was. Anyways, guys, don't worry. Be happy. And Naveed, is there a preferred way for you that, you know, anyone who found value in this interview, is there a way that someone could get in touch with you if they want to?
I tend to shy away from social media, but I do have my Twitter, which is NavSab, NAVSAB, at NavSab. Or Lieberland at Luxembourg.org.
There we go. Or is it or Luxembourg at Lieberland.org?
You're right. Luxembourg.
There you go. Thank you for hanging out with us here, Naveed. I know you're, you know, we just said you got 2 hours of sleep last night, so I'm sure your time to hit the snooze button's coming up here soon. So thank you one more time for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, today we were joined by Naveed Sabarin, the Lieberland representative to Luxembourg. I'm your host, Adam J. Carswell. Thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you in the next episode. Thank you for investing your most valuable resource with us here today, your time. If you enjoy the Lieberland Show, be sure to tap that subscribe button and also go ahead and check out my other podcast, Dream Chasers. You can do this by going to dreamchasers-ix.com. That's dreamchasers-ix.com. A link to that is in the show notes. Thank you for tuning in. And as we always say, we will catch you in the next episode.